we actually had four crews all together, two 12-hour shifts at the prime site and two 12-hour shifts at the wing site. And Bendix operated both of them. So we more or less had our own wing at Pioneer, but we were tracking the S-4B, which is, you know, very easy, nothing much happens, nothing much goes on. When we heard, we were listening to Net One, or, you know, the air-to-ground loop, and we heard, Houston, we've got a problem. And then paid close attention to it, and at the time they more or less said that we're going to have to bail out, we're going to have to go to the limb in the lifeboat mode, the prime site switched over. Well, actually they had both the CSM and limb at the same time because they had two systems. So they were locked up on the limb, and that went pretty good for maybe a half hour, 45 minutes or so. But then someone at Houston called up and said, well, we need you to move the S4B to one side and the limb to the other side.
This is in terms of frequency.
Right. The way it was set, we'd have to go across one another. And Tom Jonas, who was the receiver exciter engineer at Wing, he said, that's not going to work, Bill. Don't do that. So I called up Bill Sheridan, who was on the M&O console, and said, no, that's going to lock things up. You know, we don't do that. Tell them they should not do that. And he tried to, but the people at Houston said, no, you do it this way. You take one station and go up, and you take the other station and go down. Then everything will be all right. And Bill came back on and said they want to do that. So I again told him, we're going to lock it up. It's not going to work. And Bill said, well, I'm sorry. They know what they're doing. So go ahead and do it. And we did that. And of course, both spacecraft were locked together. So we ended up with both the S4B and the limb coming down at the same time.
So that was because the transponders on the spacecraft would follow the uplink frequency, is that right?
That's right. In fact, that's the only way you can move it. You have to move the uplink. And what they wanted us to do was drag the S4B uplink one way and drag the limb the other way. But as soon as we crossed, both transponders locked on the same uplink. So we had a big mess. What the first requirement was, one of us had to disconnect. You know, one of us had to stop uplinking because they couldn't get anything through to the spacecraft. So we went off, but both transponders were still locked to the prime site uplink. So they could get through to the spacecraft, but they couldn't get any telemetry or voice back.
That's because they were getting both back on the same frequency at the same time.
Right. Coming down at the same time. Now the DSS-14, the Mars station, was brought up. I can't remember what they were doing, but there was a crash project, get over, get get the big dish on to it and see what we could get. And there was enough separation between the limb and the S4B, physical separation, that the big dish could see one or the other. And of course they went after the limb. So then they were able to get downlink telemetry and voice. And we stayed that way until it was time to hand over to Honeysuckle Creek. And that's basically what we did, is we turned over this locked up mess to Honeysuckle, but there was no park. Parks was not available yet. So as a result, they were stuck like we were beforehand with both the S4B transponder and the LEM transponder on the same downlink frequency. So as a result, they couldn't get any data back. They were able to talk, and I remember John Saxon mentioning that they realized what was going on. You know, they knew what was happening because they had some overlap with it, and they were able to see just what the problem was. And they tried to get them, they said, the only way you're going to do this is by turning one or the other of the two off, and there was no way they could turn off S4B. So they said, you need to have the astronaut turn off the transponder for a short while we pull the S4B off to one side. And I believe that's what happened. Of course, that all happened down there, so the people there have the best memory. But it's the actual happening of locking the two up occurred over Goldstone between the wing site on S4B and the prime site on the LEM. Well, one of the very early things that was done was we've got to turn down everything that isn't absolutely necessary. So turned off the S-band power amplifier, and they actually went all the way down to just one transponder running at some small amount of power. And it took the large dishes to get enough data back, you know, so that telemetry data was recoverable and backup voice is recoverable. Bain also tracked, but it was real marginal during those times. They could be understood, but it was a lot better with the two big dishes. So that's the main contribution was that they were able to add an extra 10 dB of signal margin. So the astronauts could turn everything off, but just a little bit.